for those services. I want to say also that I appreciate the brethren that helps us on Wednesday nights. Sometimes we aren't able to be here. We were out of town this previous week, and we want them to know how much we appreciate them filling in for us from time to time. This morning, I want to look at a few places in the Scripture. I want to look at the sixth chapter and the eighth chapter of the book of Genesis. Very familiar text to you this morning. Very familiar story to you this morning. The Lord give us a thought, and I'll get over there to it here shortly. This week, as we were out of town, and we went to a new place that we had never been before. Got to experience some new things that we've never experienced. And was able to spend some time with our family and enjoyed that. But also, within that, God was working on us and giving us a thought for this week. And I know last week we spoke just a little bit about faith and having our eye towards God and be diligent in believing and expecting God to do great things in our service. And our hope and prayer is this morning that we've all come with that mind and that thought process, knowing and believing what God can do. I appreciate that, and knowing that we serve a big God. He is not what you'd say in my little brain that I have. It's hard for me to fathom an eternal God, one that has no beginning and no end, one that has always existed. It's hard for me to imagine that, but that's the God that we serve. And to keep our eye upon Him, always, never deterring, but looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. This morning, I want to look, like I said, here in the sixth chapter, and we'll get to the eighth chapter here in just a moment. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, in the third verse, it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And it says, And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for repenteth me that I have made them. And Noah, it says in the 8th verse, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It said that God saw, in the 5th verse, it says, And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts and heart was only evil continually. Today, that I know oftentimes that we speak about the day and the time that we live in, how things have changed throughout this nation, how things are different than they used to be. My mind went back this week to when I was a child, and yet the innocence that we had as children, growing up in the small community that we grew up in, that we were just young children, that we would go out and play with one another and spend time with one another, how we would go into each other's homes and play hide and seek and different things with one another, how we were raised up to work, and we grew and raised tobacco as young children, and that was a responsibility that each and every one of us had a job that we were to do. And yet, even within that, we were happy. We were happy children. I remember a day and time that we would spend time with one another throughout the day, that we spent a lot of time with one another out on the front porch.
And I recall that time that we as a family would spend time there with grandparents, and we made time with one another. But it seems like the day and time that we're living in now, we just don't have time for one another, let alone time for God. It seems like now that we live in a nation and a time that things are so fast-paced that we oftentimes are going through the motions of this life without having any honor or respect or reverence towards God who is in heaven. Now, this morning I want you to know that Jesus said, those Pharisees asked him over there, they said, well, what is the first, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus looked over there in Matthew in 22, I believe it is, and he told them, he said, for thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. With everything that makes you up, put God first and foremost in your life. Honor him with everything. Give him reverence with everything that makes you up. Now, we know, and all of us are familiar this morning with this story. Oftentimes, it's portrayed as a child's story. It's one of my children's favorite stories. But this morning, I want you to know that I believe that it to be true. I believe that there was a great flood that taken place. And I believe that there were only eight that was there that was present upon the ark. Not only do I believe it, but my friend, I look through the eye of faith this morning, knowing it to be truth that those things took place. Now, God had said that these things were to take place. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And he was talking about a foreknowledge of things that was come to pass. But he said, and the Lord said, that I will destroy man in whom I have created from the face of the earth. And not only that, but every creeping and crawling thing that he created. Now I want you to know this morning that God's love surpasses our understanding this morning. I can't understand it. I can't comprehend it. The love of God and why he would love us, why that he would love me, why that he would see fit to save a sinner such as me. But I want you to know this morning, throughout that it repented God's heart, yet he still loved mankind. And yet he made an opportunity for them that they might be saved if they look into the Lord. Now listen, he said that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only continually evil. Evil continually. My friend, this morning I want you to know that as we look throughout this world, we had the opportunity, like I said, to take our family on a trip this last week, and I'll just be honest with you this morning. Some of you might get upset with me, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings this morning, but I enjoyed the opportunity to take our children over there to Disney and spend a little time with them. But my friend, I'll tell you today, as you look out over there in that place and you see everything that's going on, as you walk up over there in Animal Kingdom, they call it, there's a what they call the Tree of Life. And I'll tell you, it's really something to marvel at. It's really something to see, if you would. But I'll tell you, in all of this, my friend, that is not the tree of life. Jesus Christ is the tree of life. They want to make that place to be something, something very special. They say where dreams can come true is what they say. My friend, I want you to know this morning, the dream that I have, the hope that lies within me is Jesus. That's the dream and that's the promise. That's the thing that I'm counting on this morning. Now, I don't mean, like I said, to hurt nobody's feelings. I enjoyed the opportunity to take our family over there. But now I'll tell you, I believe that place has really changed. I don't know. I've never been. But from what I can tell you, I believe that place has really changed. This country has really changed. We're more accepting to the things of the world. More accepting in the day and time that we live into sin that, oh, well, it's okay. Let's just sweep it under the rug a little bit and we'll forget about these things. My friend, I'll tell you this morning that sin in those days is still sin today. That God, it says there that that the thoughts, and it says every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only continually evil. My friend, has things really today changed that much? Have they really that much different that it repented in God's heart that he had made man? Now, I'll get to the point just here in a moment. But even in all of these things, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This morning I want you to know that that is very important as God's people, that we continue to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. That no matter what situation that we are in this morning, that we keep our eyes focused upon Jesus, that we put him first and foremost in our life. That we keep him at the center of our life. They talked about over there that the circle of life there, about that big tree of life over there in that place. My friend, that Jesus Christ this morning should be the center of your life. The center of it. I'm not talking about over there that he's in left field somewheres and when you need him, you call upon him. But I'm telling you that he should be the center of our life this morning. That we should find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Knowing that he's bigger than we are. The things that we're battling, the things that we're facing, our lost children, our lost loved ones, whatever it is that we're going through, that he can handle them. God had instructed Noah to build an ark. He told him there in the 14th verse, he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. He said, rooms shalt pitch and make the ark, and shall pitch within and without. Without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. And he said, a window shalt thou make the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set on the side thereof. With lower and second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, destroy all flesh wherein the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come in the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And he goes on to talk about of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark and keep them alive with thee, and thou shalt be male and female. And it says there in the 22nd verse, thus did Noah according to all God had commanded him. This morning, I guess if I could think a little bit about our subject, it would be about the old ship of Zion. I think about the Lord's church and I think about how special she is to me, how she has been a mother to me through the years, how she has nurtured me, how she has brought me the gospel, how she preached to me, how she comforted me, how she prayed for me when I was lost, how that when I was seeking God, the old mother church, she gathered around the altar and she built a wall of prayer for me, how the mother church, how she loved me and how she helped establish my goings, how she's taught me and how she's loved me through the years. And this morning I want you to know that God has still called us out as a church, as a body of people, to do that same work, that we spread the light, that we continue in sharing the gospel, that we continue to love lost people, that we continue to preach the truth. And in the spirit this morning, when God gives us utterance to do those things, He talked about over here how that they was to instruct and how they was to make the ark, how he had instructed Noah. And I want you to know this morning that God gives us the instruction and then the roadmap, and he draws it out to a specific how he wants his church to be and how he wants it to go out and how he wants it to flourish. This morning it's not up to the pastor. It's not up to you. It's not up to this one or that one, but he's called us out as a church to go out and to take the gospel out beyond these four walls this morning, that we are to take the gospel out and to preach it to everybody that would hear. He's instructed us. He's told us. And this morning, if you're sitting there and saying, "Preacher, I don't know how to build the ark. I don't know what to do. I've lost my place in the service. I don't know what to do or where to go." And my friend, the place for you to start this morning is on your knees asking God what your job is. Each and every one of us this morning have a job to do. Oftentimes you can ask Jessica, I'll tell her, honey, this job that God has called me out to do is too big for me. It's too big a job for me. But honey, I'll tell you, when God gets in here with me and he helps me and I feel his spirit fill me up, my friend, I feel like God helps me and I can preach a little when God helping me. We can do nothing this morning without the Spirit. Nothing. We need the Spirit. My friend, this morning, if you get to a place down in your life and you say, "Boy, I can't feel the Spirit anymore," then honey, get down to your knees and ask God to give you a little taste of it again. I tell you what, I need it. I crave it. I'm not saying that every service we've got to come in here and the roof blow off of this place. But honey, I'm telling you this morning that we need the Spirit of God each and every time that we gather in this place. And I need the prayers of God's people to get behind me and to help me to be able to preach. The Spirit. God had instructed Noah how to build that ark. Give him very specific instruction on what he meant to do. He said, "Listen, the earth is evil." He said, "Every imagination in the heart of man is evil." Listen to me this morning. Listen, church, we live in a day and time that most people are out for themselves. How can I gain more in this life? How can I do better for me? How can I advance my family? We was walking through the airport yesterday afternoon, and for no reason, some kid walks up and kicks Braxton's suitcase. Just kicks it for no reason. You say, "Well, preacher, it was probably crowded." It wasn't nobody standing around us. That's the day and time that we live in, folks. People don't have time or patience for anybody anymore. We don't have hardly enough time or patience to come into God's house and listen to an old-time preacher for 35 or 40 minutes. We've got other things that's going on in our life. Listen this morning, where is your heart? I'm talking about me this morning. Where is our heart this morning? Where is our treasure this morning? Jesus said, "Layeth up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doeth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." Listen, where is our treasure? Where is our responsibilities? Have we found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Do we earnestly get down to a place this morning, listen, that we want to see our lost ones saved? I'm telling you this morning that man's heart was evil and God said, "I'm done with it." And he flooded the earth. Listen to me this morning. There's coming a time when he's going to say he's finished with it. He's going to look out and say, "I'm done," and go get them. My friend, he's called us out to work diligently while we still got time. There's time today. There's now. We've got today to work. God has given us right now that we might pray and seek God's counsel, that He might save our lost. I'll tell you, Noah got to building on that ark. No doubt, I'll tell you this, I believe in all of my heart, people looked out and they thought, what in the world is this guy doing? It's going to flood. Noah and his family's done went, lost their mind. It doesn't matter to me anymore what people think about me. If they think that that old preacher's lost his mind, that's all right with me. I'm going to keep on preaching it like God's give it to me. I'm going to keep telling the world about Jesus. I'm going to keep telling my kids about Him. I want to keep lifting Him up. And listen to me this morning, I'm not perfect. But I want my children and your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews to be saved more than anything. I want them to know what it is this morning to have a no-so kind of salvation. I'm not talking to you this morning about something that somebody leads them down and tells them about. But honey, I'm telling you about something you know that you can feel and something you know that's real. When you stand up and say, boy, I know that God has saved me. He said, let the redeemed say so. Listen, tell the world about what God's given you. Go tell them about it. That woman at the well said, come see a man. Said, come see a man. Listen to me this morning. I realize that our ladies, we don't believe in women preachers. But honey, you can share the gospel. You can tell people. You can minister to people. You can tell them about the one that lives in your heart this morning. Listen to me. God had instructed Noah how to build this thing. He said, Noah, you get ready. He said, you build that ark, the rains are coming. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said, no matter what come, no matter what may, Lord, I'm going to serve you. As far as we know, only 8 entered into that ark. Noah worked diligently trying to build it just to God's specifications. I don't know if y'all have ever been up there towards Louisville and seen that great big ark they've rebuilt up there. Boy, it's something for your eyes to behold. And that's man-made and machines put that together. God used a simple man with simple tools to build this thing. And he worked at it daily. He didn't get no hurry. He said, God, I trust you that this is going to happen. I'm going to work at it. So he did. He said there that finally day and time had come that the rains started. He said there in the 6th verse, he said, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood water was upon the earth. And Noah went in with his sons and his wives with him in the ark because the waters of the floods. And it said there that in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, and the 17th day of the month, the same day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. This morning, I want you to know that God had fulfilled His promise. The flood waters did come, and the great deeps were broken up. I know this morning, the gospel has been being preached that Jesus will return for over 2,000 years. I believe in all my heart that the Apostle Paul even believed that the Lord would return in his time. And though he didn't, he still looked through the eye of faith that he was going to return. My friend, this morning we're still preaching that God will return. He's coming. He's coming. And we need to make preparations. Church, we need to live each and every day like it may be the last opportunity that we get to tell our lost friends and loved ones about Him. And listen to me, I fail in that. I've got neighbors over there that live out by me at Halifax and I've never shared with them, but I'll tell you this. Yesterday on the way home, I was sitting there beside a woman that I've never met. And I got to talking to her about the Lord. And she talked about how she was saved and how her daddy was a Baptist preacher. And boy, I tell you, God just filled me up. And as I rolled that window down and I looked out over the skies and I thought, man, Lord, you sure aren't an artist. Boy, look at that sky that God has created and what He has made. And if we think about the beauty that God has made here, can you only imagine what He has prepared for us over yonder? Boy, I can't imagine. But He talked about those things. We've got to share what Jesus has put in here. We've got to get earnest about it, folks. We've got to get diligent about it. Listen to me. I want to look over here in the 8th chapter of Genesis. Bear with me for just a little longer. It said, "And Noah and God remembered Noah and everything, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and great waters assuaged. And the fountains also of the deep, and with the windows of heaven were stopped, and the train from and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the tenth month. And in the tenth month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened up the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth the raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him, unto the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him unto the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came in unto him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth, and he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not unto him again anymore." With the mistakes that we've made reading this morning, I want you to know that God shut the door there on the ark. The waters were coming, and no doubt that that the Lord shut them in. And this morning I want you to know that this old ship of Zion that we're sailing on here, that me and you here that we're together on this thing, that we're sailing on this ship, if you will, or we're trying to all make it to heaven. And I want you to know, as the storms of this life come, that the evil of man's heart is continually upon the face of this earth, that man is going to continue to do evil, that they're going to continue to sin, and sin is going to continue to keep growing in this thing. Listen, the pride of those people over there at Disney World, if you will, there's a great pride that's in their heart about homosexuality, and they go around showing themselves, and it's a bunch of foolishness, if you will. But my friend, we've got to keep on preaching Jesus, and we need to love those people, and we need to tell them about the Lord. This week, I want you to know my heart was hurt over that deal I heard about over there in Texas.
That hurts my heart. That woman I was talking to there on that airplane ride, she's a first grade teacher. She talked about how things have changed so much since she's been in education. My friend, I want you to know, just because we're in the church and God has sealed her heart, He saved us, He's given us a peace that surpasses all understanding, and we're inside of this thing, that it's not about this building that we're in, but it's about the fellowship that we have together. It's about the love that we have together. It's about how God has taken His church and He's motivated it to go beyond these four walls. He's called us out in the Great Commission. And yet when He's called us out, He's placed a protection around us. But listen, that don't mean that the things of the world is not going to come and crush up against the sides of this ship. And just like it was the ark, that it's not going to be beat up and it's not going to be hurt or there's not going to be damage that's going to be caused along the way. But my friend, what it does tell me is that God will be with us all the way. And what I love most about this story, it says there in the 8th chapter, it says that God remembered Noah. Listen to me this morning. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're beat up. Maybe you've been praying that same old prayer for a long time. Maybe it seems like a long time since you felt the presence of the Lord. God had told Noah to build this ark. He told him how to construct it. He told him where to enter into it, but He never told him how long he was going to have to be in it. He never told him how long that he was going to have to be in there with his family. I'm sure that there was disagreements along the way. Daddy, how long are we going to have to endure this thing? Daddy, how long is this going to go on? Daddy, when are we going to see land? I want you to know this morning that after 150 days, it says there that it says, the fountains also of the deep and the window of heaven were stopped and the rain of the heaven restrained. And it said the ark rested in the seventh month on the seventh day of the month in the mountains of Ararat. And it said in it, let me find my place here. And it said, and the waters decreased continually in the 10th month, and in the 10th month, the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountain seen. And it says, and it came to pass in the 40th day that Noah opened up the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven. This morning, so much time had went by. I want you to know this morning, being a child of God, being inside the ark of safety, is not always easy. But I want you to know this morning that just as God had remembered Noah, God has not forgotten you. He knows you. If you found grace in the eyes of the Lord before, maybe there's been a moment in time since you felt His Spirit. Maybe this morning you have a great desire in your heart, and I hope that you do, to feel His Spirit once again. You can find grace once again. Not being saved once again, but I mean that He can restore unto you that joy that's in your heart. Folks, we need that joy restored in our heart. We need the Spirit of God to move in our spirit, in our service. You want to know what I believe the difference is between when things was a boy, when I remember a time that me and my grandparents would sit together on a front porch and spend time with one another? They depended upon God for every aspect of their life. They depended upon Him for their crops, for the food that was on their table. Brother Casey needs something now, you know what I do? I go to the store and I get it. We need medicine now, I go to the store and I get it. I'm not saying this morning not to use common sense. But I'm saying that we need to depend upon the Lord. We need to depend upon Him once again. So much time had passed. And I'm going to tell you this morning, church, I get weary. Bible teaches me not to get weary in well-doing. I get weary. As Noah was there on that ark and so much time had passed, he made his way up there to the window. He opened up the window and he looked out and he could see land. This morning I want you to know, there's times in my life God gives me a glimpse and I can see land. I can see land. There's land just out ahead. And boy, there's times in my life that I get to longing for it. There's times in my life I think, boy, look, God, this whole place is ugly and it's filthy. And God, even as I self-examine myself, I say, God, I get tired of failing you. God, I get tired of letting you down. I don't want to sin anymore, Lord. I want to do better. God, help me, God, that I might do better. And I get to longing for that place that He's going to prepare. Boy, I tell you this morning, lost people, God is going to prepare a place for us. And boy, I want you to get on this same thing that we're on. Church, don't get discouraged. There's land out ahead. Boy, we can see the mountains out there. There's land that lies just ahead, and we're on this thing, and it seems like, boy, the waters have beat upon us. And I'm going to tell you, there's times that we have troubles. There's times that we have trials. But God has gone to prepare a place for me and for you. And I'm thankful from time to time I get a view of that place, and it restores the joy that's in my heart. I'm longing to see Him one day, but my time hadn't reached yet. There's still work to be done. We're still on this ship together. We're still looking for God to do big things. Listen to me. He said that the tops of the mountains were seen. And He said after 40 days had passed, He said Noah had opened up the windows of the ark, and He sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. I want you to know this morning, I don't know, I've heard it discussed, that maybe that raven went forth and that it was eaten and digesting upon the carcasses, the flesh that was out there upon the seas, upon the waters. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, that raven represents sin. He didn't come back. He didn't return. But He said He sent forth a dove. That dove this morning represents, I believe, not only the humility that God has placed within us, the humbleness, but no doubt it represents the peace. It represents God's Spirit. And as He sent that dove out, He come back. He sent it out again. He sent forth a dove to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But He said the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto Him, unto the ark. This morning I want you to know, the things of this world, if we're not careful, will bring us down. The world will chew you up and it will spit you out and walk all over you. The world doesn't care about you this morning. The devil knows this morning that he can't have our soul. But boy, he wants us to get down to a place to where he can't use us anymore. He wants us in a place to where we can't feel the joy of God's salvation, the joy that's in here. Listen to me, folks. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. I'm not saying this morning that we've got to come in here
and just throw down every Sunday. Sometimes God's Spirit is just as gentle and just as peaceful. And it just comes in. He said that He would send us a comforter. That's what He is. He's a comforter. And He just comes in and He just wraps His arms around you and His gentleness around you. He sent forth that dove and she couldn't find no rest for her sole of her foot. Church, I'm telling you, out there in the world, I can find no rest. I've tried the world. I'm like the prodigal son. I've went out in the world and I've rolled around in the filth. I've got covered in that old mud. In that old pig mud, you know, I've rolled around with the swine of the world. I've been covered in it. But I'm telling you, I have found no rest. Listen. He said, and then He put forth His hand and took her and poured Him into Him unto the ark. Listen to me this morning. How long has it been for you since you felt God's Spirit? How long has it been for you that you felt like you've rolled around out there in the world? How long? I mean, examine your life this morning. Get down to the nitty-gritty. As I say, a lot of times, get down to where the rubber meets the road. How long has it been for you? Do you want to feel Him? Do you want to feel it? I'm talking about maybe you're not a shouter. You don't have to shout every time God's Spirit comes in. You don't have to have some kind of explosive experience. When God saved our soul, honey, a lot of times I think we make it a lot more complicated than what it has to be. You know what I got when God saved me? Peace. Peace. That's what salvation is to me, is peace with God. Boy, the world, as much fun as I had, Braxton, I looked at him out there the other day. We was on our way home. When we was out this morning, I said, "Y'all glad to be home as Daddy is?" He said, "No, Daddy, I wish we was back at Disney World." Daddy was glad to be home. One day after a while, I'm going to be glad to be home. It's just in you. I've heard people say the older they get, the sweeter it gets, and the closer to home that they get. I don't know about how that feels, but I'm telling you this morning, there's a few times in my life where I feel like I could just see it. Heaven is just in you. There's no rest for me out in the world. Daddy was glad to be home. I could have took off this morning. I'm weak in the flesh, but boy, God has restored my spirit. I wanted to be at church this morning. I wanted to be around God's people. There's no rest for me in the world. There should be no rest for God's people. No rest for the sole of our feet. I love to be around God's people. What about you? He said, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him the ark and the waters of the face of the whole earth. And then He put forth His hand, and He took her in. Boy, I tell you this, if it's been a long time for you this morning, it's never too late to return back to where you could feel His presence once again. Each and every time I've got down to where I've wanted to get serious, God, I want to feel You once again. Lord, give me something to do. God, give me a job. God, let me stand up one more time. I'll tell you, today may be the very last time you might be able to stand and thank Him for what He's put in your heart. It may be. I don't know. But if it is, Know this, that He'll take you in His hand. And He said He poured Him into her. Well, I tell you, there's been many times throughout my life I felt that God has just took me in His hand and He's just pulled me right into Him. And I felt His love once again. He's just filled me up. And boy, as they say, my cup runneth over. And I felt the joy and the love of God that's just come into my heart. And He's overflowed me. And boy, I tell you, it's just felt good. Listen, I'm telling you, how long has it been since you felt His Spirit? How long has it been? Do you want to feel Him this morning? Boy, I can tell you, I can preach. And I'll tell you this morning, it's not Brother Casey's job to restore your spirit. It's your job. It's your job. It's not my responsibility to come in here this morning and bless you. You sit back and say, boy, I want to be blessed. That's not my job. You want to be blessed, you seek out God's counsel, and He'll bless you in your life. You put Him first and foremost, and He will bless you. I've tried it both ways, church. I have rolled around in the filth of the world, and I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't take a thing. I wouldn't take not one penny for my journey now. I wouldn't take a penny for it. God's brought me too far in this life, and He's showed me too many things. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. I'm looking forward to what God has prepared for me. And if tomorrow or tonight God says, Casey, I'm finished, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm looking for the land that He's going to prepare. I've got my eyes fixed on it. I'm sorry I've been so lengthy this morning, but boy, I've just felt good. My spirit is full. God's filled me up. I'm about done, I promise you. He said He sent forth the dove out again. And she returned with an olive leaf in her mouth. She didn't come back with that branch. She come back with a leaf. Boy, I tell you what, when God's Spirit, when He gives it to you, He gives you just enough. He gave her that leaf, and she returned unto Noah. And Noah said, boy, I know God's working out there. God's Spirit, He gives us just enough. Listen to me. You may be like Noah. You may have told your friends and loved ones a blue million times you need to be saved. You may be praying for your family. Listen. Morning, my grandparents prayed for my mother, I know, for over 50 years, almost 60. You know something, this morning they never did get to see her be saved. But I'll tell you what, God answered their prayers. When my mother was 64 or 5 years old, God come in and saved her soul. They never got to see it, but He answered their prayers. You may not get to see the effects of the prayers that you're praying. But you keep praying and keep believing and keep laying them at the feet of Jesus that He's going to take care of them. That's how big my God is this morning. When God comes in, He'll give you just enough peace to suffice, and it'll take you on a little further. Listen to me this morning. They went on, and He was in that ark almost a year. A little over a year, I guess. A long time. Lots of y'all have been on this thing a long time. Don't take y'all off the prize. Don't take y'all off what God's prepared. You know what the first thing Noah did when he come off of that ark? The Lord told him, He said, you take Seven clean of every animal. Seven. You think, why in the world would he take seven? He's restarting the population. One of those was for a sacrifice of the Lord. He told him to take one of every clean animal, every clean fowl. The first thing he done, a natural carnal sense of my mind would have been, boy, I need to get to work on building me a house for my family. Boy, we need to put us out a garden. We need to get ready and start making preparations for food. You know what the first thing Noah did when he come off of that? It said he erected an altar and he made a sacrifice unto the Lord. The first thing that we need to do, listen to me, church, is an erect an altar in our heart and make a sacrifice unto the Lord. What are you sacrificing today? Have you ever sacrificed anything for God? Put God first and foremost in your life. I'm still working at it, church. I'm still working at it. I don't all have it down. But I tell you what I want. What I want more than anything is I have a need to feel His Spirit in my life and to feel the joy and the love that God has each and every day. I know I've wearied you patience. Lost friend, it's never too late right now to get on that ark. I'm headed towards a better country, but there's coming a day just as He shut the door on that ark, He's going to say it's finished. It's done. It may very well be today. If you hear it lost, seek God while you've got a chance, while you've got an opportunity. As we stand and have a verse of soul this morning, won't you come and seek the Lord while He may be found? Come this morning, seek God.